Welcome to the spring 2018 installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is entitled, How to Avoid Eutectic Reactions and Diffusion Bonding in Vacuum Processing. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
In today's podcast, Bill Jones interviews Don Jordan, corporate metallurgist, and Dr. Ginny Osterman, senior scientist. Both are members of the Solar Atmospheres Research and Development Team. Don will inform our listeners to be aware of how eutectic compositions can form while heat treating. Ginny will introduce diffusion bonding, which can be a reaction of concern to the heat treater. When two dissimilar materials are in close contact with each other in high vacuum at elevated temperatures. But let's first jumpstart Bill's interview by making a few comments about eutectics to help us along the way. If two metals are in direct contact and the surfaces are free of oxides, atomic diffusion can occur during heating. For some materials, when a specific atomic composition is reached, it will melt at a temperature much lower than the melting points of the individual metals. If that temperature is reached or exceeded during the heat treating process, melting occurs at the contact points. This is often referred to as a eutectic melt. Another concern with atomic diffusion is diffusion bonding, a reaction which begins well below the eutectic melting point, and also must be considered when two or more materials are in direct contact. Diffusion bonding becomes more acute as the mass of the parts in contact increases. In vacuum brazing, a eutectic reaction can be a desirable formation when joining two pieces of metal using brazing filler metals. But there are times when a eutectic can occur with unintended and often damaging consequences. Today, our interview will focus on binary eutectic reactions that sometimes occur unintentionally when heat treating metals in a vacuum furnace. So let's listen as our three experts explain these complex metallurgical reactions called eutectics in understandable terms.
Today, our subject is eutectic reactions. These are metallurgical reaction between generally two different metals that have higher temperature melting points, and when in a clean vacuum environment, when in close contact, can melt and form much lower temperature reactions. And today I have both Don Jordan, who's our corporate metallurgist, and Dr. Ginny Osterman, who is going to help us on giving some of the definitions and examples. The word eutectic to many people is something not at all well understood. And the best way to think of a eutectic is a metallurgical meltdown. So with this, I think I'm going to ask Don Jordan to join us.
Right, Bill, thank you. Yes, so a eutectic is typically, it can be seen as two components that melt at a single temperature. And the most common out there for the novice to understand would be a tin lead solder. Tin melts at about 450 degrees Fahrenheit, and lead melts at about 620 degrees Fahrenheit. However, when they are together as two components, the solder melts at 370 degrees Fahrenheit, 80 degrees below what tin will melt at, and a couple hundred degrees below what lead would melt at. Another good example, in we're talking about vacuum heat treating, is the titanium nickel eutectic. And this one, you have titanium that melts actually a little bit above 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and nickel melts at about 2,650 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you were to heat treat them in a vacuum furnace and say, put the titanium on a typical heat treat fixture, say a grid or a stainless steel basket, those two, titanium and nickel, would melt at 1,730 degrees thereabouts. So it could be a disaster if you were not cognizant of the fact that two metals together can actually melt considerably below their individual melting points. Another classic example for vacuum heat treating is the iron carbon eutectic. It can be a real concern because oftentimes with high-speed tool steels, you need to keep them flat. And it's very common to use graphite fixturing to keep tool steels flat. In other words, they don't distort when you quench it. So the iron carbon eutectic is approximately 2100 degrees Fahrenheit. And in the heat treating of tool steel, high-speed tool steel, it's common to austenitize them at between 2150 and 2200 degrees. So here again, if you are not cognizant of the fact that iron and carbon in contact forms a eutectic, you will melt the tool steel right into the carbon. And we have seen this happen. It's a mistake. And we have posters throughout our plant with the different varying eutectic temperatures such that the operators are always informed of the potential damage that can occur.
Thank you, Don, for giving those classic examples. I just want to comment on probably the most difficult situation or the most common situation, and one that occurs across industry quite a bit. As a matter of fact, we have had just one such experience within the last few days. That is this. Most of us in the vacuum heat treating world, we will run high temperature, high vacuum cleanup cycles on our hot zones, usually pumped down into high vacuum, and then we will heat to 2400 degrees for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, and then cool the furnace down in order to bake out any impurities in the hot zone, in the felt, and so on. Well, very often what will happen is an operator will not open the furnace, will not look to see what's in the furnace from the prior cycle, and let us say you have a set of stainless steel baskets in the furnace, or maybe a stainless grid. We've had both of these things happen, where the grid is sitting on top of, in effect, moly rails, and the furnace is taken up to 2400 degrees, and the eutectic reaction between moly and nickel is something like 2300 degrees. And when you go to 2400 degrees, you're well above the eutectic reaction, and you melt down all the baskets, all the grids into the bottom of the hot zone, and you have a complete melted mess. This reaction and this happening is very common in our industry. Now, I'm going to turn the microphone over to our Dr. Ginny, and she's going to tell you some of the maybe more interesting things that can happen as well that you would not necessarily expect in these vacuum melting reactions.
Just to clarify, many people that do atmosphere heat treating would not understand the concept of eutectic melting at the temperature we're talking about, because most metals still have surface oxides on them when they're in an atmosphere heat treating furnace. And these oxides actually will prevent unexpected bonding when we have surface contact between two metals. Typically, that's one of the ways to avoid a eutectic melt is to put some type of an oxide separator between, let's say, your tool steel and your graphite, so that you don't get that eutectic melt. When you're in a high vacuum situation, though, you're going to clean up the surfaces. You're going to either remove the oxides because they're going to decompose and get clean metals, or the oxide will actually diffuse into the bulk of the material and you'll have a nice clean virgin surface. So now that the two clean virgin surfaces touching each other, you will see diffusion of the atoms and the alloys occur, and then you'll get surface melting. So it's people that are used to atmosphere heat treating may not be able to picture what we're talking about. The reason that we are getting this type of reaction is because we're removing the oxides from the surface of the metals. So diffusion bonding is another problem that you can have. You may not melt and destroy everything, but you may get a lot of sticking occurring because you will get to two elements that are reactive. They'll start to diffuse towards each other, and you'll get points of sticking. Sometimes it's not that bad, and you can actually still just tap it, and the parts will be perfectly fine. But there's an issue if you have heavy load on parts to the basket, and you're going to be heat treating for an extended period of time, or you're at a very high temperature. These three variables will affect how much sticking you will get. And so you could end up, have tool steels, and you try to get as much into one basket as you can so they're squeezed together, and you're at high temperature, high vacuum, and you start to get diffusion bonding that is so bad that you actually damage the parts and it becomes scrap. So you have to look at many different variables when you're thinking about diffusion bonding and eutectic melting.
Right, Jenny. And as we had discussed earlier in our private conversations, the issue is both temperature and time at temperature and the pressure or the loading that's taking place.
Yes.
All three of those things can affect this, what Jenny referred to as diffusion bonding, which is really a form of eutectic. I would like to go back and comment on something that happened to me very early in my career. We had sold a vacuum furnace to a research and development arm of the Handy and Harmon Company at that time in Bridgeport, Connecticut. This was during my ABAR years, early in my career. Well, it was a research and development furnace for the development of brazing alloys. And the metallurgist in charge of this particular development called me after the furnace was up and running a few weeks, and he said, "Bill, I have these many parts that I've run through the furnace, and I'm getting all kinds of melting and sticking, and I don't understand it at all." He said, "We do not have this happen in our atmospheric furnaces, and we can't understand it in vacuum." Well, Ginny has just explained to you why that occurred. I can tell you at the time, and this was back in about 1966 or so, at the time I had never heard of the word eutectic, and this metallurgist never heard of it either. So both of us were dumbfounded as to how to prevent this. And actually at that time I suggested the only thought I knew to do was to put small sheets of tungsten between his parts that he was trying to heat treat, tungsten being a very high temperature and not reacting with many things. That worked. And of course, today we have stop-off materials and other things that we can do to prevent that. Might also add that we have a book that Dr. Ginny has authored and cleaned up over a number of years, which is our melting book handbook. So the melting point of many metals and the melting point of many of these eutectics are listed in that handbook, and very worthwhile to get a copy, and you can do that off of our website.
Thank you for joining us for another Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast on how to avoid eutectic reactions and diffusion bonding in vacuum processing.
The Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. The websites of Solar Atmospheres and Solar Manufacturing contain technical papers and articles for download related to vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treat processing, which will be very helpful to our listeners. Thank you for listening, and be sure to look for our next podcast for another informative Vacuum Heat Treat Minute.